so not in the Bible. That is so not true. Like, but we're led to believe it's this mixture of the world's ways, and then we kind of throw in some Christianese in here, and then we're all there together, and let's all be happy and live the lives that we want to live. That's not even rooted in the scriptures. What's so important for true, genuine Christianity is align your expectations with what the Bible actually teaches.
Hey, welcome back today to Live in the Light. We are wrapping up the Beatitudes today with a message called The Peacemakers and the Persecuted. Yesterday, we covered the first part and went through together how Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the chief promoter of peace. He is the only source of heart-softening, world-changing, unifying peace. And we all need more of that. Now we're going to get into that second P, persecution. For a believer, persecution happens, and it's good. Confused? Keep listening as we dive back into those red letters today in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 12. Blessed are the persecuted.
Do I desire meekness? Am I hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Because when that is real, then inevitably the fruit grows from the Beatitudes leading into the merciful and those who desire to make peace with their lives. Also right now, if you find this is more your pattern of peace taking and disturber of the peace, and I've pointed that out right now and something's wrong within, if you're mad at me right now, that's further confirmation that you have a problem, okay? Because again, you're trying to blame other people as opposed to taking responsibility for the thing that's wrecking our hearts within and the thing that God wants to love you and grace you and forgive you with, that his peace might be found in you and then his peace might be seen from you as well. You've been part of our church for any period of time. You know how I love to be clear as possible. Notice Jesus, he just, sometimes we miss the obvious. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed are the peace takers. Those who are blessed are those who make peace. This is obvious, let me just point out though, those who take peace will not be blessed. It's amazing, sometimes we're like, no, I'm a disturber of the peace, but I'll be blessed. No, you won't. No, I will. There's just no way. Peace taking's never blessed. Going around creating divisions, never blessed. Gossiping's never blessed. Sin's never blessed. Never, ever, ever blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called sons of God. That's really interesting too, eh? What does it mean the peacemakers will be called sons of God? It means this, okay? It means those who spread peace in the gospel, those who spread peace relationally in the name of Jesus Christ, they are taking on the attributes of the Father they belong to. You know the phrase like father, like son? Hey, he's the chip off the old block. That's what's happening here. Those who make peace in Christ with others are acting like their father. They are acting like the one they have been conceived from. Born again, new creations, disciples of Christ, transformed into the image. The more we are transformed into Jesus, the more we spread peace from our lives like father, like son. One of the ways we know we're really growing in Christ is we see more peace coming from our lives. Here's a great application too, I think, for today. Think of all the family events today and tomorrow and this weekend. How can the Holy Spirit move in your life, maybe to literally this afternoon, to be a peacemaker in the situations you find yourself in? I'm a human being, man, so I know there's a lot of stuff that happens in families, right? I got my own situations. The complexity, the difficulty, the relational, whatever it is, how can you and I be used today or tomorrow to make peace because we love Jesus Christ? and because of what he's done for us. Just don't want to rush. I want to give time for the Holy Spirit to apply. Listen. If we respond in obedience to being peacemakers, here's the guarantee, blessing. The guarantee is blessing. Robbie, it's hard, I know. Christ promises blessing. Robbie, man, the situation, the difficulties, trust me, I know. He promises blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they act out the reality that they are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Here's the second thing we see today in our message. The blessing of God is guaranteed for those who, changing gears a bit, who suffer persecution. The blessing of God is for those who suffer persecution. So look at verse 10 now. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I want us to see here, and I need us to confirm without a doubt, for the believer in Jesus Christ, if you look at these verses right in front of us today, for the believer in Jesus Christ, persecution is a good sign. It's so weird to say such things, and yet it's so biblical. In fact, one of the ways that we know we're truly saved in Jesus Christ is there will be opposition to the light that is shining from our lives at times. You're reading the same Bible I am, right? I want you to see right here, just showing every verse we're going through right now, right? Jesus is not ambiguous. He says, the life I bless, the life that I favor, the life of purpose, the life of fulfillment. I mean, strangely so, the life of happiness is the life that will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let me point out too, this truth is not often found within popular best-selling Christian books. It never seems to make into the sermons of the prosperity preachers or those who are obsessed with kind of feel-good, self-esteem authors. Why doesn't it make it into the sermons and into those best-selling books most often? It's because it doesn't sell. This doesn't sell. Verse 11 or verse 10 and 12, it doesn't sell, man. Oh, the world wants to hear. Blessed are the persecuted. They want to hear the opposite of that. But notice, it made it into Jesus' sermon. And it made into his book several times over. Categorically speaking, persecution guarantees blessing in Jesus' name. So strange. Upside down kingdom, man. This is the way, again, Jesus teaches us. And just say it's so backwards what the world says. But notice, this is very important, okay? Blessed are the persecuted. Doesn't stop there, though. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Look at your Bible. What does it say there? For persecuted for righteousness' sake. Very, very important, okay? So this is not blessed are those who are persecuted for being a jerk. It's not blessed are those who are persecuted for being a fanatical legalist. It's not about being persecuted for smashing people in the head with your Bible. It's not being persecuted for sinful anger, sinful rage, or sinful self-righteousness raging against the culture that you live in. That's not what's being said here. It's being blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for Christ in them sake. It's amazing to me how many people are dying on hills that Jesus is not dying on. They rush the hill. Let's go over the... And Jesus is like, I'm not with you, man. Like, I never said I'm doing that. I'm dying on these hills here in my word. Those are the hills I'm dying on. And they're like, we're going over here. And they take the name of Christ with them, and Christ isn't with them himself. And they go off on their own parade or whatever it is and trying to justify their own passions and stuff. And meanwhile, Jesus is back here remaining true exactly to what he said in his word. And wisdom says, I'm not going to die in hills that Jesus is not dying on, but I will die in every single hill that Jesus himself is choosing to die on. So rather, persecution is blessed when it is looking like, living like the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does that look like in our day? So many different things, but at its base and foundation, it's we will, in this church, Lord willing, God help us, 100% stand for the truth that is found in the word of God. Not beyond it, in it. 100%, that is so important. If we are persecuted for the truth in the word of God, for righteousness' sake, so be it. As many, many, many have before us in generation after generation, and many have lost their lives for the sake of the truth in the Bible, we are with them. But it's not just the truth, it's grace with the truth as well. persecuted for the love of Christ, for the grace that is found in seeing this truth go forward, and the humility and the mercy to be shown and the love of Christ. If we're persecuted for that type of righteousness, so be it as well. This is what we are all called to do if we're genuinely living in the character and the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ. Now notice what Jesus unfolds now. It's going to be on the screen beside me, behind me here. How will this persecution come according to our text? Well, first of all, notice we will experience reviling and evil. It's right there in our text, verse 11. Notice Jesus is setting very clear expectations. Church, again, I'm just trying to preach exactly what's in front of us here in the word. So verse 11, he says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you." So let's ask this question, okay? Let's say you're new to the Christian faith. Let's say you're just new to discipleship and you had to base expectations of the Christian life on verse 11. What would you come up with? If you had verse 11, and we do today, it's before us right now, and you had expectations for your genuine life in Christ, what should you expect based on verse 11? Well, it's pretty straightforward. You should expect difficulty. You should expect at times, not always, but at times there'll be opposition. And obviously, we should expect at times there's going to be persecution. Notice in our text, too, persecution here isn't even stated as physical. That's legit. I mean, Christians being persecuted physically over the course of time. This is verbal, though. The persecution listed here is verbal. When they revile you and utter all kinds of evil against you, is what Jesus says. Again, what's so important for discipleship. We're kind of coming out of, well, I hope we are, but maybe we're not at all. But there's been so much easy believism in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years in so many pockets of Christianity. There's been all this stuff about Jesus died, so your life is happy and you're healthy and you're wealthy. Like, it's just so not in the Bible. That is so not true. Like, but we're led to believe it's this mixture of the world's ways, and then we kind of throw in some Christianese in here, and then we're all there together and let's all be happy and live the lives that we want to live. It's not even rooted in the scriptures. What's so important for true, genuine Christianity is align your expectations with what the Bible actually teaches, right? I've said that so many times, but I say it again and again. And you're new to the Christian faith. This is love to you. Expectations are a massive part of life. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be hard. It's going to be eternal. There's going to be some cost. It's going to be a joy you never thought possible, but it's going to come with opposition and difficulty. It's not going to be the most popular path to take, but it will be the path of ultimate, again, victory over sin, death, and seeing Jesus Christ face to face for all of eternity. The road is narrow, but the road is blessed. The road is hard. The hill is steep, but man, the outcome is absolutely worth it. These are the expectations. And again, when Jesus says here, you will be reviled and all kinds of evil uttered against you, it's amazing to me. We all are living in the same society right now. If you and I are genuine, orthodox, evangelical, Bible-believing Christ followers, there's a lot of labels being tacked on us now that weren't tacked 20 years ago. There's a lot of them just by being orthodox and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, falsely on my account, bigot, falsely. Homophobic, falsely, misogynistic, falsely on my account for believing in the truth of God. That's happening all, you know it, I know it, every day. It's getting closer to home now. We're all starting to sense and see, but again, should we be surprised? I just think we've been living in somewhat a false reality for so many decades maybe, or at least out of the norm, where the majority of Christianity has been dealing with this stuff from the very beginning. So maybe you're new to church. Maybe you're new to the Christian faith. Again, maybe you're seeking Christ. Jesus says here today, okay, he says here, I said it again. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. So if you're going to follow Christ and you think, man, following Jesus is sitting by the pool in a pool chair and I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and I've got my sunglasses on, the sun is shining, sipping a fruity drink. If that's your idea of Christianity, you've been misled, bro. You've been sadly misled. That is not it at all. Narrow, hard, awesome. Difficult, opposed, joy. Cost, sacrifice, everlasting life. You have signed up for him and that which grants you forgiveness of sin, victory over death, and eternal life again with Jesus Christ forever. Suffer now, honored forever. So listen carefully. I want to be sure to this to you, okay? I know some tough stuff's in here. I'm just trying to be faithful to what Jesus has said. We're not looking for people to revile us. It's the last thing I want. Not looking for people to revile us or speak evil against us. However, on the other hand, let's not be surprised when it happens. According to this text, Jesus says you are actually blessed when it does. You are blessed. I think now and obviously in the time and reward to come. Young people, all people, but young people here today, okay? Notice what's happening. I love pointing out the obvious. Jesus right now is giving you a roadmap. There's no bait and switch here. He's not like, hey, come believe in me, everything's gonna be great. All of a sudden it gets hard. No. Right from the very beginning, Jesus is like, you follow me, eternal life, but you follow me, it's gonna be a bumpy road. He gives the roadmap. There's gonna be steep hills. There's gonna be detractors. There's gonna be people who oppose. There's gonna be a hard climb. It's gonna be a tough road. He's not trying to trick us. He's trying to prepare us. If you choose to genuinely follow me, you understand I am the treasure of the universe. I'm the only one who grants everlasting life. But from now until everlasting life, the road at times will be very difficult. Young people, see what's in front of you. He did not promise you ease. He did not promise you popularity. He did not promise you everything's gonna be good all the time. But he promised you himself. And he promised you blessing. And he promised you fulfillment. And he promised you happiness in him. And he promised you peace, eternal peace that only he can give. And those who truly see Jesus Christ, those are the ones that rejoice. They rejoice in how awesome Jesus is. And they say, whatever it takes, he's worth it. That's discipleship. But the path there is tough. So when I first got saved, I was just on fire for Jesus Christ and just unbelievable. Just everyone I talked to, I had to tell. And I found myself, again, in the early days of being saved, I was in a campus bar of all places and I was talking about Jesus to some friends. I said, anyone I was there, places I used to hang out, whatever. And the campus bar, I remember this one friend, she said to me as I was sharing about Christ, whatever, and she said to me, she goes, I like the old Robbie better. And I said, well, he's dead. But I also said, now why did she say that, right? What's happening there? She was a really nice person. She said that because the old Robbie joined in the sin. And the old Robbie approved of the darkness. But now the new Robbie had light by grace, all by grace of God. But I was now a new creation. I now had the Holy Spirit. I was now born again. I was adopted as a son of God. Now I had the light of Christ in my life, and the light was confronting the darkness in that conversation, and the light makes the darkness very uncomfortable, and the darkness hates the light. Hence, I want the old Robbie back because your light is confronting my sin and sin doesn't want to be exposed. That's what's happening when we're engaging in the spiritual reality with people around us. That's why it's so uncomfortable at times and awkward and difficult. There's a spiritual battle going on. Every 6 months or so, I want to point to you this verse from John chapter 3. I want you to see it. I believe it's so fundamental to our discipleship and the world that we live in. Look at what Jesus explains to us in this context. He says, this is the judgment. The light, Christ, has come into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. When you love sin, you don't want light to shine on your sin. When you live for sin and self, anything that exposes that, you hate. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. Christ is the light of the world. This is why some, when they see the light and they say, he is life, they run to him. Others, they see the light, exposes their sin. They don't want to give up their sin. They hate him to the point that they kill him. But you can't stop him. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. But the darkness hates the light. See, this explains right now all that we are confronted with and all that's going on in our lives as we genuinely seek to be, even next week, Matthew 5, light of the world, Jesus will say, awesome. Looking forward to that already. But what are we learning here? That we must expect and we will experience reviling and evil. By the way, too, let me just say this too, okay? If we are a professing believer in Jesus Christ, and month after month, year after year, and year after year, there is no, like zero persecution coming against us, that's a problem. Remember, I read a story this week, a young man, he went away to university and his parents were concerned about his Christian faith and how he'd do. And he comes back home and they say, how'd it go, man? How'd you go? He goes, it was great. He's great. I never told anyone I was a believer. Everything was fine. I didn't let anyone know I was a Christian. Well, that's one way to do it. But that's doing nothing. Here's a good question, eh? So you're here in church and say you love Jesus and stuff. Do people in your life know that you're a Christ follower? That's the start, isn't it? Do people even know? Do they know that you love Jesus? Do they know that he's the most important person in your entire life? Do they know that you believe he's set you free from your sins? Do they even know that you are, at the end of the day, more important than anything else in your entire life, that you follow Christ? That's a convicting question, because I've been in all those conversations too, where I have the opportunity to state my identity and you can easily just cover it up and kind of go into the background and move on. If there's no persecution, Jesus says in Luke 6, a beatitude kind of similarities, he says, woe to you when all people think well of you. And that's what our world wants, be liked by everyone. Jesus says that's not how it works. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake when they revile and speak all kinds of evil against you, for your reward is great in heaven. So all kinds of evil against us. So we must endure Antichrist. Secondly, we must see this. We must endure Antichrist hostility. Look at verse 11. It says, and utter all kinds of evil falsely on my account, Jesus says, on my account. I don't have time to unpack this in detail. I just want us to ask this question. As we look at the Bible and what it's teaching, our eschatology study of end times, do we expect things to get better or worse? I wonder how you kind of frame that. I agree that I heard some people say that. I agree as I look at what the Bible teaches, not everyone will, but I agree it's hard to see all these passages and expect things to get better. I believe we're nearing the end. I am not for a second trying to suggest again some kind of day where I'm not that stupid. I'm just saying that you look at all the different things that are happening, news as recently as this weekend and the world that we live in and all the chaos and craziness that's happening around us. I think it's unprecedented in this way. I mean, we're losing our minds, we're going insane, everything around us is happening. There's this gigantic spiritual war that is raging in the spiritual realm. Satan is trying to pull every stop he has to destroy, to deceive, to send people into destruction. There's this massively growing Antichrist flavor. It all seems to be rooted on Jesus Christ. John Stott puts it this way, according to the verse, he said this, we shouldn't be surprised if anti-Christian hostility increases. We should be surprised if it doesn't. I agree with that. When I read the Bible, I don't think we should be surprised when Antichrist stuff happens. I think we should be surprised when it doesn't happen. Because again, of the passages that we have before us and just the reality of what's going on. I'm not trying to discourage us, church, okay? I'm trying to prepare us. Just trying to be faithful with what Jesus has said too. The more we're prepared, the more we're ready to persevere too. The Christians who are not prepared, they get tossed, man. Tossed every wave. They get thrown overboard and they don't make it. But those who are prepared and ready, who are discipled and who mature, who are grounded in the word, they're ready to fight the good fight. Just some perspective too, right? For us, sometimes in our Western world, we can get so focused and look down our navels and we're just kind of seeking, you know, the stuff we're doing, our little bank accounts, our little cars, our little homes, our little lives, whatever. But let's get a little bit of perspective here. Since Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, over 43 million Christians have died for their faith. Estimated. Every day we live, now more than 360 million Christians face persecution in some kind of serious or severe form. 360 million, several times the population of this entire country. In 2019, some stats, about 3,000 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons, just for following Jesus Christ. 3,700 Christians were detained without trial, imprisoned, sentenced. 9,500 churches Christian buildings were attacked, burned, or destroyed. It's just good to get perspective, right? Because like they're reading Matthew 5, 10, and 12, and they're like, for sure, man. Like, it's real. Because again, the battle of what's happening of light and darkness. So there's I believe, an antichrist hostility that is growing. However, again, then notice how Jesus ends here. Look at verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Rejoice and be glad. Amazing. And rejoice and be glad is physically demonstrating a joy. You're so overcome with joy, it physically takes over and you leap and jump for joy. Why? Because you're so glad about your reward that is great in heaven. Church, I keep trying to implore you how much the Bible talks about the return of Christ. How much the Bible talks about the reward to come. Every verse right now, every verse. Live for what is to come. Live for what will be. This is the whole point. Joy over the reward. Again, cost now, Christ forever. The reward that is Christ all over Scripture. John Chrysostom was a church father and used many, many centuries ago. He was summoned before Emperor Arcadius and he was threatened banishment unless he stopped preaching the gospel. But he replied as one who knew his reward was in heaven. He said to the emperor, he said, "Sire, you cannot banish me, for the world is my Father's house." The emperor said, "Then I will kill you." He says, "No, you cannot. My life is hid with Christ in God." He says, "Then I will confiscate your treasures." He says, "You can't do that either. My treasures are in heaven, where none can break through and steal." He says, "And I will drive you from man, and you will have no friends left." He says, "You can't do that either, for I have a friend in heaven who has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Good for him. I mean, that is a man who understands the reward that is to come. The power of living for the reward in Christ allows you to let go of everything now here on earth. If you have everything in Jesus Christ, and we do, then there's nothing you need here and now, ultimately. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? If I have received everlasting life in Jesus Christ, then I have received everlasting life in Jesus Christ, and no one and nothing will ever be able to stop that. So that's why we sing then of the reward to come. Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. And at that moment, we're like, let's go, right? I mean, that is what we are living for. And that is what Jesus says. You will be blessed in that moment eternally. God, help us to live more and more and more for him and less and less and less for us and here and now. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, tough stuff I know, but so good and so needed. Let's pray, church, let's pray. Father, help us. Every beatitude is impossible on our own, but every beatitude is possible by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. So we beg you for your grace and your Spirit to help us live such truth. Man, there's so much to apply here. Do it, Lord, do it. Holy Spirit, do it as only you can. I pray for peacemakers today, this weekend. I pray for the belief of blessing, even within persecution, for our lives that we live. Fill us with love and grace and humility and sacrifice. Fill us with truth and conviction and encouragement. Fill us with hope as we sing this song now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our team here at Live in the Light would like to thank you for tuning in to today's message. Each day, this ministry strives to see the kingdom of God advance, and this can only be done through the generosity of our power partners. To learn how to become a power partner, or simply to learn more about Live in the Light, visit liveinthelight.ca. Please join us again next time here on Live in the Light. I wanna-